Oh, hey,
guys,
we're back.
Yeah. We're back on TV.
Welcome back. What a jam that was right there.
Indeed. Perfect elevator music.
We just continued to do the show, and it was possibly the best 5 to 10 minutes of content ever created, up there with when Will Smith smacked that French or that Russian reporter, which is also phenomenal content. He gave a little backhand. Pap, pap. You remember that, Jacoby? You remember that?
He tried to kiss him in the mouth. Yeah, he gave him a little kiss, and then, yeah, that was amazing. Will Smith's Instagram has more production value than any show on ESPN. Like, absolutely any show on ESPN. That dude goes hard. He's got a budget for Instagram.
And lots of energy, too, though. Like, he's doing a show, like, 10 hours out of the day for his Instagram.
Well, it stems from his childhood. I actually read, well, I guess I can't call it reading. I listened to his memoir. It was very good. And I was surprised that it was very good. But my brother, whom I trust, was like, I'm not a big memoir guy because it seems like it's mostly just like a recasting of someone's history that takes out all the luck and happenstance and everybody else's help. And it's just like, this is why I'm awesome. And like, I'm not here for that. But he was a little bit forthcoming, and it was interesting to learn about the things he dealt with. Yes, sir. Jacoby, the front row.
You listen to it? You're an audiobook guy?
Yeah.
Audiobook guy? So like I see you walking around and you got headphones in, you're listening to like Game of Thrones or whatever.
Nah, it's worse than that. So like I do actually like to read books. I read most of the time. But when I'm walking around, I go with podcasts more often than I go with music, which I know I should be ashamed of, but I mean, I listen to the music. I like it. It depends on the mood. Like the dangerous thing about listening to music is like it really highly influences the mood that I'm in. And I can't be coming to work like feeling like I need to rob somebody. Like that's bad news for me.
Just listening to Onyx walking down the street, kicking over trash cans.
I don't think you need to apologize for being a podcast dude over music. Because we work in TV and we gotta like know stuff. And podcasts are great for little gems that people are like, oh, did you hear so-and-so?
Plagiarized takes.
But exactly. Yeah, I heard this on a podcast. Let's go.
Jacking some takes, boy. And one take that I just stole inadvertently, I got called out for. Like, I do get up, so I don't like watch First Take because it comes on right after. So I'm on First Take. And I say Micah Parsons should be in the MVP conversation. I'm like, this is a good take. This is right on the line that it's just crazy enough that people are going to pay attention, but I could also support it. I'm like, this is a good take. Then Michael Irvin comes for me on the internet. He tweets at me like, yeah, I'm glad that you are bringing attention to the opinion that I had yesterday on First Take. I was like, why are you coming for me, playmaker?
Michael Irvin.
Why are you coming for me, playmaker? That's the perfect use of Twitter.
One thing I've learned is that there's no original take. There's no original thoughts. There's nothing original in the world. Every segment's just another segment that some other show's already done. So I've stopped trying to like, you know, lick every M&M and then put them back in the bowl. You know what I mean? Like, there's no such thing
as
original thoughts.
That's a disgusting analogy, especially as we are in the midst of COVID
pandemic. Back. Yes,
Jacoby's out here licking M&Ms.
So just to let all the viewers behind the curtain is we did some content and then there was no audio. So Dominique, you're in the upper left quadrant. So obviously that gives you a position of authority. Do we redo the stuff that we just did or do we move on?
I think we can redo the topic, but I don't think that we should go back and try to re-say our funny jokes and our great content. So we do the topic, but you got to come with a fresh stolen take. You can't use the take that you stole in the first 5 minutes. I need a brand new stolen take.
Copy.
Okay?
I got it.
Do not cite it. All right.
Alabaster.
Let's go. All right. Give it to us, Allie.
Okay. Let's do it. Today marks the end of the glorious Urban Meyer era. How will you remember his time in Jacksonville?
Well, it was incredible. Urban Meyer is going to go down as one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. It was outstanding.
Coach
impressive.
Of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool that he is going to be 13 games coached and get coach of the year when the season's over without even finishing the season with his team. This was an outstanding job that Urban Meyer has done. He brought nothing but pride to the Jacksonville, Florida area in that team, and he helped to develop Trevor Lawrence, the best college quarterback we've seen in many years. He has brought him up to MVP Hall of Fame status. So I think the Urban Meyer era will be thought of as the golden era of Jacksonville Jaguar football.
Well, I would like to just add to that. I think he'll be up for a Pulitzer Prize for an incredibly diverse staff and putting nepotism at bay. And I just think the work that he did to really move an organization forward in a direction was impeccable. So I agree.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, obviously hiring the super racist strength and conditioning coach to start off was a good start. And then bringing in your old buddy Tim Tebow to play a position he's never played before, even though he was just on the Mets for like 3 years. Just that was before they snapped the football. That was like before week one. And listen, we were talking about plagiarizing takes, and one of the takes that I plagiarized, because like I don't evaluate college quarterbacks for their NFL potential. Like, I don't know how to do that. I watch college football, and I can tell who's good and who's not. But I was definitely plagiarizing the, like, this is the best prospect we've ever seen since Andrew Luck. I literally said that into microphones and looking at cameras. And then I watched the game, and I'm like, probably rather have Mac Jones. Probably, you know,
this guy?
Probably like four this quarterbacks guy. That I would have taken in that draft above this dude.
So do you keep track of the people from whom you've stolen takes? Because I feel like whoever set you up with that one, man, except the problem is everybody said that.
Yes.
We're like, it was just common knowledge. We all accepted it. And that Trevor Lawrence was, I think it's best since John Elway, best since Andrew Luck. Those names always come up. And he was that guy, and now he's not. So are we blaming it all on Trevor? I mean, are we blaming it all on Urban Meyer, or is Trevor Lawrence not that good? Because I think that take is still safe. Now that Urban was there, that take is still safe. We can blame Urban.
Yeah, well, one thing that I always say about number one picks is you're a number one pick, but that team has the number one pick for a reason. You know, yeah. it's like they won less football games last year than anyone else. And just because you bring in the best prospect since Andrew Luck doesn't mean all of a sudden they're going to go 10-7 this year. And God, can we talk about the kicker that got kicked? Why would you kick a kicker? What are the details on this?
So read that and be like, oh, it was playful. I don't think that was playful. No. Now, this is what I will say, though, and this, somebody has probably already said it, but this was my first thought, and this isn't necessarily fair to Shad Khan as an owner of color. However, like, in the big grand scheme of things, of recycled coaches that get 18 lives or whatever, like, do something different. And I don't know what consulting agency he may have used. And, like, again, I don't want to put it on him as a man of color, but I would like to believe that you carry that with some sincerity. I mean, it's not my place to judge, but I do wonder, because we all said the same thing when this hire went down. First of all, this man helped.
Ooh, big freeze.
Oh, that's a great freeze.
Oh, that take was so strong.
She broke the internet. You try to send too many megabits over them Ethernet cords.
So, Dominique, question for you. I always imagine the kicker's like sitting on the ground when he kicks him. Is he like kicking him in the shins? Is he like a spinning Cobra Kai kick? Like,
I don't think Urban Meyer has the flexibility to get a real good kick up. So, like, that means he kicked him in the leg, which is a really, like, I feel like I've only seen that done in movies for, like, little girls in movies do shin kicks. Like, why are you running out here fighting him like you're at a preschool? Like, it seems weird. So he had to be laid down.
He's sitting on the ground. He has to be sitting on the ground.
Which suggests to me that this was, like, this was delayed. It wasn't like he just missed the kick. This was the next day. He was stretching for practice. Mm-hmm. And he walked over like, pow, you deserve this kick.
Also, who says head ball coach?
That was weird.
High school coach. I mean, I feel like Steve Spurrier is the one who popularized. Yeah. I'm the head ball coach. Like, no one calls himself the head ball coach in the NFL. I think Rex Ryan says a lot of things, many of them quite absurd, but he did say this is a man's league, or this is the men's league, meaning this you're dealing with adults, and you can't deal with adults by calling them dip S's and kicking them. Oh, God.
Wait, what about the Blake Bortles year? Didn't they go to the playoffs and, like, almost beat the Patriots or something?
Yeah, that was they should have beaten the Patriots. They were better than the Patriots that year.
The big lead,
and they outplayed them, but they were scared to let Blake do anything about that. But, yeah, they were a defensive juggernaut. But you made the point about Trevor Lawrence and how Mac Jones is probably the best. And you made the most important point is it's about the situation you're going into. Because Mac Jones is performing the best, but they're also asking very little of him mm-hmm. because they have the best defense in football probably. And they have a really strong rushing attack. So Trevor Lawrence has none of that. The Jags have none of that. Don't ISO me. I'm not saying anything that important. Get me off the ISO.
My computer's going to die. Sorry. They're
just trying to cover for Monica, who's having more technical difficulties.
My computer's dying. I didn't even realize.
Don't you know how this works? They're just trying to help Monica out.
My bad. My bad.
Oh, no. Okay. Hit her with the difficulty.
Whoa! I'm all the way out.
They just called you difficult.
Please continue.
I don't feel comfortable.
It's fine. That is a reflection of them, not me. It's fine. Don't
worry. What's up, Alabaster? What you got?
Dominique, I got a question for you.
Give it to me.
Is Urban Meyer the single worst head coaching hire in NFL history?
I mean, I guess when you combine the fact that they paid him so much, like I feel like other bad coaches, man, Dan Campbell is an interesting decision. That was an interesting one. That's an interesting decision. Joe Judge, really interesting decision. But I feel like those guys were not guaranteed as much as Urban Meyer, and those guys weren't handed the best quarterback prospect according to draft analysts. David Jacoby, the best quarterback prospect since John Elway and Andrew Luck. Like, I feel like this has to be. I can't think of a hire that's gone worse. That much money and you can't even finish the season? And you're in worse shape? Like, people think less of your organization now than they did prior to this? Like, he has done nothing good for that place. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it's the worst hire in NFL history, except for the fact that, I guess, John Gruden's, like, hyper-racist. He came out of the booth.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I think that they're all pretty bad hires. Every hire in the history of the NFL is a bad hire.
I know how to fix this, though. I know how to fix this.
Every hire?
We know how to fix this. Condoleezza Rice. Remember when Condoleezza Rice was
always with the Browns? That's always
fair. Yeah, just get Condi in there.
I remember that.
Get Condi in there. We're going to turn this around.
The Browns Condi was up for general manager and head coach and all types of stuff. I promise you one thing, and she's not going to embarrass you. I don't got Condi up in Condoleezza's draft house with people dancing all up on her with her hands missing. Like, yeah. Condoleezza, also a person who I'm not a huge fan of, but I would rather work for an organization that is being led by Alabama's own Condoleezza Rice than Urban Meyer.
I had a better coaching staff at Bowling Green. You Chad guys are Cohen? Bleeping terrible.
Didn't he hire that? Okay, all right, sure.
Yeah, some of them were already there, but I like the idea that the point where he like had them all like back their resumes and he called them losers. Like, I kind of like that. Like, it's just like one by one being like, pitch me you. Pitch. Why are you good at anything? Anything. Just pitch me you.
I know that should Jacoby ever be my boss, I will not show up because he's going to be like, hey, every day I got to show up and explain to him before I can work.
Why are you here?
Why I deserve
prove
to work
to me
for him.
That you're not just plagiarizing Michael Irvin's takes. Just
prove it to me. No. I will prove to you that I am. Because that's what you want.
yesterday's news was Shad Khan is like, I'm not gonna like rush to any judgments. I'm not gonna make any hasty decisions. And then like at midnight, he fired.
That's
him.
It.
Something happened. Something. There was a conversation that was had
it
between
was,
those two.
But it had to be the most like. Well, could have told you that. Like, I was getting ready for bed when I saw it come across the bottom line, and I was like, no surprises there. Cool. Ooh,
night owl. Go to bed
late. Mustache. That mustache, if you trust that mustache, that is a villain's mustache. Just like, I don't mean any disrespect. Yeah, that is not a mustache you can trust. Once he started saying stuff, I was like, nah, that's a lie. When you do this with your mustache, you obviously lying, and you may have a history of questionable decisions. I'm just saying. But at least he stuck with that one. He didn't stick with this bad decision.
Does he get his full money, or did they come to like a buyout negotiation?
He don't care. He's like a multi-billionaire. I think he's worth like $11 billion. He don't care.
Do
what you want with it. Just get out of my face.
But what's the over-unders on what he does next? Another coaching job, more TV, or back to the Pint House?
Pint House. The sad part.
I think there's multiple Pint Houses, to be honest with you. I think it's a franchise. It looked pretty good. I researched it. I looked at the menu. I was like, ooh, that's some good bar fare right there.
All in. Tourist attraction.
When are we allowed to feel sorry for Urban Meyer? Is that ever, or do we have to wait a couple months? Like,
oh, I love this.
According to all your
angle. Up. Frozen Monica game. Great angle, though.
Frozen Monica.
I like this. Let's flip it. Urban Meyer is the victim here. Urban Meyer is the victim here. He is the victim.
I just want to know the time period, like, because he doesn't have to be a victim for us to feel sorry for him. Like, I feel a little sorry for Urban Meyer, even though I'm enjoying making fun of him. You put the Lambo quote back up to try to make me not feel sorry for him.
Why? Explain.
Sure.
Go the other way. Great zag.
A few years ago, Urban Meyer was one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football. And then he had the scandal where he was hiding a domestic violence committer. Then it was like, oh, this is a problem. He could be, this could ruin his, from his perspective, this could ruin his reputation. Then he got out of there, lickety split. And then all we remembered was how good a coach he was. And then he came back to try to, I guess, reiterate how good or remind us how great a coach he was. And then he like showers himself in even more embarrassment. Like, I understand the same way that if I drive past a prison and I see the gates and all the barbed wire and the tiny little windows, I don't know what they did, but I still feel sorry for them. It's the same thing. Like, you got to live up in there. That's pitiful. I feel the same way about Urban Meyer. I'm sorry. Maybe it's too soon, but I have to say it. I said it. Monica, tell me why.
So
why
much
I'm
there.
Wrong.
Monica, please.
Let me say. Speak for all of us when you say,
Okay, now on a human level, like, once lauded and celebrated to now, like, the butt of every jokes, okay, sure.
What other levels are there? We're humans, so we're on a human level.
Because, dude, like, because you're in a position of power and you refused to adjust, right? Like, you just mentioned this contract this man got. Everything that got us to this point, you did. So you got to take responsibility for that. And at this point, I'm not sorry for you. Sorry.
Here's a question.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Will this funk stick? Like, when we look at Urban Meyer, will we just forget about this, or will the funk stick? Like, no one remembers Rick Pitino being a bad coach with the Celtics, but he was.
Because he went to college and was really, really successful.
Yeah. Well, so this funk is going to stick. I think, no, it's the
funk is going to stick. It's a sticky funk.
It's the last taste rule. That's it. Like, if you go to a restaurant and the last bite you have is gross, you're going to remember that restaurant is gross. Like a movie. If the final scene is terrible, it doesn't matter how good they set up everything else, the movie's terrible. So his final scene, it's a stinky funk.
It is
a
final
stinky
scene,
funk.
Though? I'm
with Jacoby on this. I think the funk stinks in the NFL. I don't think the funk stinks in college.
Well, okay. So first of all, funk stink. The question is not whether the funk stinks or not. It's whether the funk sticks.
Sticks.
So
sticks.
Funk
sticks.
Sticky funk.
Funk stinks. Funk sticks. Sticky funk. Funk stinks. Sticks.
If I ever played baseball, I would name my bat the funk stick.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, there's like seven dispensaries named the Funk Stick right now.
Booming. Okay, man. I'm tired of talking about this. Can we move on?
Okay, yeah, you're the boss. Get us up out of here.
All right, guys.
Sorry.
To be clear, I don't feel sorry for Urban Meyer. I was just asking when we can. That's all.
We can't.
I feel a little sorry for him. I'm sorry.
Never.
All right, next one.
All right, got a real brain buster for you guys. Real thought-provoking football question.
Uh-oh.
Who has more to prove tonight, the Chargers or the Chiefs?
That's what we're doing?
Yeah,
gets my snowmen going. This is a good topic.
Oh, those are snowmen.
Yeah, they're nice. Little.
Okay, answer it. Since you got your snowmen shaking.
I think it's the Chiefs, personally.
Really?
I do, I really went back and forth on this one because it's like, oh, the Chargers haven't done it, like Herbert, blah 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 blah.
Nice.
But I think
that's
it's the Chiefs.
Take right there.
That was really good. Really good analysis.
I love that. The best part about that is everyone who's watching knows exactly what you mean. I mean, you're saying all the stuff that people are saying that they've heard 30 times already and that Jacoby's about to say anyway because he heard it on a podcast when he was walking in today.
Oh, yeah. This is clearly – you know what? This is inevitable. The Chiefs are going to win the AFC again. It's inevitable. Yeah. It's absolutely inevitable. It's over. The Chiefs are going to win the AFC. It's happening. Put them in the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. And, I mean, tonight, who has the most to prove? I mean, I think it has to be the Chargers. Like, the Chiefs – have some track record for us to point to in recent history of going to the Super Bowl, winning Super Bowl. And in recent history, they've won six in a row. I think their defense in the last 6 or 7 weeks is the best in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is able to go off against the Raiders only, but he still shows the ability to go off. And it's like, this is not a new team. They have all the same players, just about. They have, sadly, they have all the same coaches, which is an embarrassment to this league for some, for a number of reasons, but they have the same coordinators and the same head coach. So I don't see why anybody would think that they have anything to prove. The Chargers, on the other hand, lost to the Broncos, who no one thinks is a real contender, got lucky and beat Cincinnati pretty much because Chase decided to bat a ball back into interception territory, excuse me, and they beat the Giants. So, like, if anyone has anything to prove, it's the Chargers, who seemingly can't stop the run despite being very talented on defense.
I hear you on all that, but I think as the Chiefs are back on their way to getting to wherever we all thought the Chiefs were supposed to be, I just think it matters. I think it matters more than maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's higher expectations.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like they're
the Chiefs
they're,
don't win the Super Bowl this year. They're disappointed. The Chargers make the playoffs. We're like, hey,
look at that
on the climb.
I always like to keep expectations as low as possible, but that the Chiefs have nothing to prove. They've been to the Super Bowl over and over again. They've got the, you know, they've got an all-star offense. They've got all their defense back. Like, the Chargers have more to prove, but they're going to get blown out tonight. Isn't that? I'm hoping they're up by the Chiefs will be up by 28, so I can go to sleep early. I don't stay up as late as Monica. Monica stayed up late enough to find out that Urban Meyer got fired.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, look at that.
I found that out this morning, just like you. We're on that
we're washed.
Father's husband schedule, where it's like you're watching the game. I'm not rooting for an outcome. I'm rooting for it to be decided by half.
So I can go to sleep.
I can go to bed. One of the most liberating things that I've done is, like, and I know people say, like, you need to get off of Twitter and social media and all that stuff. Like, it really has helped my, like, experiencing games. Because when you're watching sporting events as someone in media, like, I feel like there is the compulsion to, like, tweet about it. Like, you got to let people know you're watching it. You got to have funny, smart things to say about it. I don't tweet anything ever anymore. So it allows me to watch games or not. And also enjoy the games, which is made it a lot more fun because I feel like there was a stress. Because I'm an old guy, it doesn't come natural to me, like a tweet, you know? And now I'm like, whatever, just watch it.
I don't know if that's just an old thing because I'm like, oh, is that funny? And I'm with you. I'm just like, I'm just going to say wow because that encapsulates everything.
Monica McNutt, everyone's supposed to be a big play. Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
That was cool.
I sent out a tweet this weekend. It might have been the only one during football games the whole weekend was Micah Parsons is terrifying. That was my contribution to the social media world.
Boom.
And Monica,
And Michael you Irvin, guys like Michael Irvin Crowe tweeted and said, get off my corner, dog. Get off my corner.
Oh, man. Are you going to try to force us to talk about left tackles who are out for COVID? I saw you put that paper up there. Like, he's outstanding. He's great. That is a good note for NFL Live. The people who are on their lunch break right now watching this, don't give two poops about left tackle.
Okay, old man. No, I was just going to say, you cannot fry our questions when you're out here tweeting. Micah Parsons is terrifying. You lose that privilege.
Dude, wow. Some of the best tweets are just matter-of-fact statements that end up viral. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
Ask Magic Johnson.
Oh, man. How long you been waiting to take a shot at me? That was a great tweet. And I think this is a great question right here. This is a great question.
Excellent,
good job.
Excellent question. Who has more to prove? Who has more to prove?
Classic.
All right, guys. You guys ready to play a game?
Sure, why not?
There you go. And the game is, what are the chances? We'll show you a video. You tell us the chances.
Did you clear that picture?
Nope.
Maybe. First one. What are the chances Pelicans Thunder was the game of the year?
I don't know. Monica, give it to me. This is one of those games that I did not watch. So tell me about it.
Percentage-wise.
Why the hell would I be watching Pelicans Thunder?
It was good at the end.
I feel you.
He's not even playing. And you know who I'm talking about. Zion not even playing.
Only okay, Shea. So but this is all you needed to that. See, though, Foxy.
Game's
Shaq
over, right?
Alexander.
Game's over, right?
Crazy shot. Uh-huh.
And then
crazy.
Devontae Graham just casually gets the ball. You know.
Hold my beer.
Boom. Look at that.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yes. I should have watched this. I should have watched this so that I could tweet out this.
Wow.
This is the reverse Urban Meyer. Whereas I'm sure everything that happened up into this game was meh, but they ended it like this.
And now we're like game of the year. It's the reverse Urban Meyer. Because, well, no, it's not the reverse Urban Meyer. Because Urban Meyer, yes, it's the reverse Urban Meyer's career.
I got you.
He had a lot of success. And then that final shot. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah,
wah. All right, percentage of this was game of the year. 1.5% precisely for me. These teams stink. The finish was excellent. And thus my game of the year hopefully will be between good teams. There you go.
Yes. The Warriors Suns game was much better than this. I'm going to put this at 2% that this was the game of the year. But I will say that there was a news story about the Pelicans that they're going to be buyers at the trade deadline. And it's like, well, you fighting to get to lose in the play-in tournament? Like,
they're really bad.
Really bad.
I'll go 1% for all the reasons you stated. And that has to be like some sort of like negotiating tactic, right? Like they aren't actually, I mean, who are they building around? What are they building towards? Or is this just David Griffin like trying not to get fired? I don't know.
Monica,
I don't
get it. Ben Simmons for Brandon Ingram. If you're the Sixers, do you do it?
Y'all just gonna cut me out? Like I don't know who these people are. Like I never watched just because I ain't watched this one doo-doo basketball game.
I'm just distributing the rock. I'm distributing the rock.
I don't watch this one doo-doo basketball game.
No, I'm with it. I'm with it, and that's kind of crazy to think about. But I'm with it. Here's the other spin to that though. Can Ben Simmons be the centerpiece in New Orleans? Like smaller market, healthy for his mind, whatever.
Well, I think that Zion Williamson is the centerpiece, and I also – oh, God, I'm about to make a Zion Williamson shame joke.
I can't do it. But go ahead.
I was going to do a centerpiece pun, but I can't pile on Zion the way that he piles on the plates. I can't help myself.
When can we start to feel sorry for Zion? When does that happen?
Oh, no.
Never? We still can't do that yet either?
Well, no, see, I do feel sorry for Zion.
All right, that's my new question. This is my new corner. Every time something comes up. When can we feel sorry for them? That's my move. Everything, every question. 1%. Give it to me.
Oh, there you go.
I feel sorry for Zion now, though.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be game of the year if I didn't watch it or tweet that something was terrifying.
Winner.
SGA,
I do that trade.
Terrifying.
I do that trade, Jacoby, and Philly looks crazy with that. Anyway, continue.
All right, next one. What are the chances Micah Parsons? Ooh, terrifying.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously 100%.
112%.
Nice. Jacoby?
Micah Parsons is terrifying. I got to find the tweet.
It won't be that hard. I don't tweet it often.
Seems like a great guy. Not terrifying at all. Not terrifying whatsoever.
Put it on a shirt.
I mean,
football context, Jacoby. What do you mean?
Seems like a lovely young man. I'm not scared of Micah Parsons.
Not on the football field.
Well,
his mom can cook too.
Also,
Wait, his mom can cook too?
Yeah, didn't she cook in the Hard Knocks thing? I think she had. They had everybody over. I'm pretty sure it was his mom.
God, cooking for a football team seems. That's terrifying.
I mean, you gotta be confident. That's
terrifying.
Real confident.
55 300-pound men come over to eat. No,
I don't know if it was everybody. Well,
they all aren't 300 pounds, Jacoby. Jeez.
All right.
You take that personal, Foxy? Don't take it personal.
Yeah, I did.
You could be 212 pounds. I'm
295.
I wish I was 212 pounds.
I played at 175 my whole career, and that took work.
Oh man.
Yeah. But apparently it's a lot easier to put weight on. It's really frustrating. One of the reasons being old stinks.
Being old is great.
He didn't even write down my 0%. Come on, Alabaster. Get that blue pen.
0%.
How big is that marker? What's the marker budget on this program? Let me see that thing again. That's a gigantic marker.
It's a quality Sharpie. Is that a sponsorship? We need to know.
Alabaster's definitely like tagging up the bathroom.
Oh, the little hand.
Micah Parsons said, convinced people in Dallas cannot drive. That was 18 hours ago, Micah. So, not happy.
Matter of fact, tweets. I'm telling y'all.
You,
that's the way to go.
I'd be terrified if Micah Parsons decided that he didn't like the way I was driving. I just pull over. I see Micah's car. Let him pass.
All right, guys, we got one more. One more. What are the chances? What are the chances you're starting to feel bad for Dominique?
I do like this though, Dominique. I think that Urban Meyer is a victim. And I do. Okay.
You're a victim.
Wow.
I'm being sabotaged. I'm being sabotaged here. What are the chances you're starting to feel sad for Dominique? 0%.
Zero percent for me too. And no reason to feel sorry for me. Yeah. What are the chances that you're happy for Alabaster? That's what I want to know, because Alabaster gets roasted by me on a regular basis, and then he makes jokes that no one laughs at. You guys weren't here for the last couple of shows. That's where this is coming from. So I am 100% happy for Alabaster, because you made two right there, and they landed. Good for you.
Great work, Alabaster.
Great work, Alabaster.
Negative 0.12%.
I gotta admit, I was fed those jokes by other producers.
Hey,
way to go!
That's the theme of the show.
Yeah, we're all about plagiarism here at Debatable today. Don't worry about it. Take credit.
I'm gonna take Will Smith's his biography or autobiography and just with Control F replace.
Did he read it? Is it his voice?
Yeah, it's his voice.
Okay.
Was it funny?
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, I'm happy I listened to it. I wouldn't have wanted to read that.
Got it.
Like, when I'm reading it, you have a different expectation. Like, it was like a story, which is,
Understand doesn't hit the same now. Like imagine just a rapper. Imagine Lil Durk. Imagine Lil Durk coming out with a song complaining about parents. You know what I mean? It's like, what is happening? Like, I got this new track. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to complain about my dad and mom.
Oh gosh!
Man. Like, okay, Lil Durk.
You guys are old.
Let's get in the studio.
Summertime. Yeah, parents just don't understand. Does not hit the same.
No,
the evolution of hip hop music. I had this conversation with someone before. I mean, it's like sports, whereas like you look at old football and it's like, oh, those guys not moving quite like the guys these days. But yeah, we listen to a Run DMC track. Man, schemes, the flows.
I used to say that in the 50s that I could play in the NBA, and then I started actually looking at some old footage, and I was like, there's no chance I can play in the NBA in the 50s. These dudes are still 6'9 and jumping out of the gym. Like, there's no chance I can play in the NBA in the 50s.
Guys, right, this is
bonus topic.
This is we're going to go back to if then after this, but this was too good of a segue. I just want your reaction to this take. This is how you do a take. Bob Ryan on CNN. Steph Curry ruined the game of basketball.
Facts.
Our very own Bobo.
Why does he look like that?
Whoa. First of all, I just like the idea that he either made that topic bar on the fly, or he like did a pre-interview and was like, guys. Yeah. Just wait. I'm gonna explain why Steph Curry ruined basketball. Are you starting to feel bad for Bob Ryan?
I am. At this point, I'm starting to feel bad for Bob Ryan.
Oh, I like the reaction face from the other guys. Like, okay, buddy. All right. I guess Steph Curry ruined basketball.
Wow.
I mean, I'm assuming that what he's gonna say is Steph Curry shoots so well that other people believe that they can, and no one else can shoot like him. So they've ruined the game because a lot of people who can't shoot from 45 are shooting from 45, and everyone's focused on the three. So it's one of those roundabout ones where the headline is real salacious, but I'm guessing that the content is Steph Curry's amazing.
Yeah, that's what the core
is. But there's only one Steph Curry.
Well, if I go to a gym and watch 12-year-olds, not everyone wants to shoot from three.
That's what it is.
We've heard this one before. But something tells me if you're 12 and you don't make any of those shots, your coach won't put you in the game. So I don't think Steph Curry ruined basketball.
Well, what if all the other 12-year-olds are shooting it too? Somebody's got to play.
Yeah, I guess.
That's hilarious.
All right, what do you got, Alabaster?
He actually said that they should get rid of the three-point line because he hates it.
I love it.
I've heard him say that before, too.
I love it.
It's kind of wild. Wild times.
Hold on.
I hate that.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't a three-pointless NBA be a little interesting? I think it'd be interesting.
I mean, I think it'd be interesting for a weekend. I mean,
I don't think it would be interesting.
I think it'd just be interesting to see once, but maybe I'm wrong, but to me, it seems like the three-point line spreads the floor. Like, it gives you room to see athleticism, and that's what I tune in for. Like, that's my major criticism of baseball, is when I see those players do things, I'm like, man, that was incredibly athletic, but it happens once every four games, like a diving catch or something like that happens once every four games. I don't want to live in an NBA where we get less of that athleticism. Or I wouldn't be living in it. I don't want to watch an NBA. I don't want to live in a world where I have to watch an NBA that is less athletic.
There's no part. I don't want. Yeah. No. No. Because I think even it's no. Mm-mm.
Jacoby, what's the case? What's the case you're making?
Yeah. No. This? Why? No.
I'm big just and weird. Slow and unathletic, and that's the type okay. of basketball that I like to see. So there you go. I want to see the Patrick Ewing.
But you would just
dump it to him in the post, watch him do an up and under. Get a little Kevin McHale, Patrick Ewing, Joel Embiid. All of a sudden, is the MVP. Ooh. Rim protection is you know highly touted. We're not just shooting threes all the time. Monica's yelling at me with her face.
I think you take the line away, but I still think just because of spacing, guys would be launching shots. Like,
yeah, we don't have to entertain this, Monica. Shots.
Like, no.
Monica, we don't have to entertain this. What's next?
Jahlil Okafor would be so good in that NBA.
That's exactly right.
That's fine.
All right, we're going to if then. We'll give you a conditional statement. You guys fill it out. First one. If the Nets play KD 45 or more minutes again tonight against the 76ers, then blank.
I don't know. Why don't you guys say it since Jacoby won't let me talk about basketball?
Wow, you're so sensitive, Dominique.
You all right, bud?
What? You're sensitive.
No, I'm not all right. I'm sensitive. Nothing's wrong with being sensitive. Yes, you hurt my feelings.
Then they're probably going to win. That's what I'm going to say because KD is the best player they have. They've got like seven guys on the COVID list. They don't really have a lot of options here. It's not like Steve Nash has a deep bench when half the team is out on COVID protocols. So I wouldn't be surprised if they play him that much. Yeah, see, there you go. They got literally eight players that are available
to
them.
Gee whiz. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think the Phillies round on the corner a little bit in my mind. I think it'll be a great game. I don't know.
The Nets are like leading the East now, right? So like,
yes.
I mean, I guess the argument is that you rest him more and go ahead and fall back because you don't win without playing him a ridiculous amount of minutes considering the way the roster looks right now and considering how good he's playing. And so the argument, I guess, is you're better off having him in the playoffs. Any argument that gives me less KD, I am opposed to.
Facts. I like that.
We didn't know how the injury was going to impact him. Apparently he's come back better for it. So let's not pretend that we understand how all these minutes are going to impact him. Maybe it makes him stronger. I don't know. Just let him go out there and shoot the whole game. Why not try 48? See if we can get it. Whoa. Get him up to 48 minutes. Audio. Oh, we did?
I was going to say, is it me?
Is it? No. I think we just lost Dominique's audio. So I'm starting to feel bad for Dominique, which is part of the theme here. And I also feel bad for KD. Because KD had a very small, slim sliver of skin showing on his legs, and he's still getting roasted on the internet for it.
He's on lotion. That's why you make a lot of money.
I think I responded to that. I tweeted. That was my last tweet before Michael Parker was terrifying. Go. And I think I said something like, you ashy.
Perfect. Straight to the point.
I think I agreed because that's how my legs look all the time because I will not conform to the white man's lotion.
I don't use Keep lotion. That. I don't use lotion.
Okay. You either. You're a rebel just like me.
No, don't need it.
Lotion's overrated.
Lotion me down and y'all stop playing.
I'm good. I mean, if somebody else would do it for me like when I was a kid, then I'm down with it. But I mean, right now it's hands and face. Hands and face. That's the only thing that gets lotion.
You know you got too much melanin to be rolling with that.
I got to do what I got to do, man. This is pants weather. I don't put lotion on in pants weather. Mm-mm. When it's summertime hit, I might hit them knees again. Until then, while I'm wearing long sleeves and long pants, I'm going to hit you with these hands and face. That's it. And if you are lucky enough to see the rest of me, then you just going to have to deal with a little bit of scaliness.
Shout out to the missus because.
Oh, yeah. I know somebody who like it.
Yeah. You know why? You do you, boo, because I'd be like, if you don't take this lotion, then get out my face. But anyway.
Friday.
We got one more if then. Yeah, this is a video.
I'm telling jokes from Friday.
You got a clip for this one. If this is the future of the running back position, then blank.
Yeah, I saw this. I know what we're going to
say. Yeah, I saw this. I did. Yeah. I saw it.
Boom.
Oh, hey, baby. Is this Derrick Henry flashbacks?
How old? Zion looks great out there.
I knew it. That is not okay.
Look at that great blocking, though. Like, look, first of all, shout out to him. I think that was number 12. Can you run that back? Look at the blocking, right? Just watch this. Everyone's focused on the running back here, but look at this blocking by number 22 here. Boom.
Let me explain.
Boom. 22 over here. Boom. Get in his way. Stay away from my guy. Look at that blocking. He's blocking four people.
That is great blocking, but let me explain something to you as a former defender. Sometimes you want to get blocked. And that seemed like a situation where you are looking for a blocker. You are trying to get hung up on a blocker real bad.
That oh.
Alabaster, you must have been really mean to Alabaster yesterday.
Nah, I'm not mean to Alabaster. I love him. He is coming for me today, though. He yeah, wins he this round.
He's got that one man. On deck. He's just got it on deck.
Right,
I'm
about to say
It's his screensaver on his phone. That's what he looks at every day when he wakes up. It's like, let me remind myself that he is a man. He can be beaten. I That's do think, funny. Though, that yeah. while we all watch that and we enjoy it for all the reasons that it is enjoyable, the parents should be charged. Like, these people should not be on the same field doing anything together. Like, there has to be weight limits. We don't let adults fight each other in different weight classes. Why are we putting these people out here or these kids out here at the same time? Like, seriously, I would pull my kid off the field if they were like, hey, you see that man out there? You see that 6 foot, that 6 foot, 240 pound man? Go tackle him, little 10-year-old. No, get my son out of there. I love my son. I care about him. Get out.
I was just about to say, doesn't little football have weight classes and stuff? But maybe this one is when I was age.
Yeah, I think they do.
It's just outrageous.
Where is
this?
Texas somewhere? The other skilled position players on that team are just like, oh, we're running. Oh, again? Oh, we're running that same handoff again? Just be like, why am I even practicing? Why do you put these stupid receiver gloves on? We're just running the same play every time we get the ball. Come on now.
And even if you don't have him playing like running back, like put him out there or anything else. He'll destroy an entire offensive line. Like, good for him. That's great. But he needs to play football with people who are similar to his size and weight.
Yeah, you shouldn't That's have all. To get custom tailored uniforms. You know what I mean? They shouldn't have to go. They shouldn't have to be like, oh, we need one uniform that's an extra, 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 extra large, but all the other ones are fine. Like, that's an indicator right there. Right there is an indicator.
What? Guys.
Oh, whoa. What you doing? You just jump off the balcony?
We're moving around back there.
Wild.
We cannot shame our kids for their little. At least he's out there.
No,
competing.
I'm not shaming anybody. I'm not shaming anybody.
You are.
He's 6'2, 240. That's a fact. That's not shame. Those other kids are 5 foot, maybe 100, no, 4'9", 85 pounds. I want no shame for anybody, but I also don't want injuries, paralyzation. Like, get that adult off the field with those children.
Gosh. Poor little Tink. Okay. At least he's running. He did a good job running.
Yeah, great job running.
I'm not shaming him. You shaming him.
Breaking news. Now, before you tell us the breaking news,
is this real breaking news?
Is this going to be real breaking news or is it going to be a joke? You can never tell. Give me a joke.
It's a joke.
This is very, very real.
Never been on this show with breaking news.
It's a joke.
Big time breaking news. We got a tweet from Urban Magic Johnson. Micah Parsons is terrifying.
That's good. I see what you did there.
I'm really proud of you.
That's awesome.
Good job. Bask in it. Celebrate.
Micah Parsons is terrifying.
Is that an exclamation point at the end? Yes.
How many likes did you get from that one? Like 7?
I have no idea. I mean, I got more than I deserve. Whatever the number was, it was too much.
Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I stand by my tweet. I don't care if there's only 6 people like this thing. I stand by that tweet. That was a very funny pun joke.
That's hilarious.
So I actually have one more tweet that this one's actually real. I promise.
Oh, come
this
on, is, Alabaster.
Just was responded to you from Dan Levitard. Could 6 members of the shipping container with a blocking tight end in tight keep him from getting to the QB in less than 3.5 seconds? Dan.
Keep who from getting to get Micah Parsons?
Yeah, you responded to your Micah Parsons tweet.
No.
He must be watching.
Hell no.
Look at that. Hey, Dan.
So my tweet was great, by the way, because it drew the attention of Dan Levitard.
Blue checks, just asking follow-up questions. Look at you.
Look at that.
Micah
Parsons. Nah, I don't think they could. I know the people in the shipping container. They're all very nice people. I like them. But as you know, Micah Parsons is terrifying. Like, I don't know the strategy. Are they going to – who has the stupidity and guts to actually stand in front of them? Someone's going to have to get in front of them. None of them are going to get in front of them.
Oh, wow. You're on the move there, bud.
What is happening here? What is going on? A civilian has grabbed the camera. they're just moving it around. We need to get somebody out there to guard that camera. What is happening?
Pedestrians walking by and kicking the camera.
Micah Parsons is coming to block you. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm cutting them. That's the move. You cut them. But I mean, if you're a quarterback, it's different, or you're a ball carrier. Fortunately, I played defense, so I could make decisions. When you're on offense, it's not up to you who's coming to get you. So yeah, that's the scary part.
Well, now Michael Irvin is coming to get you.
I really don't want that. That dude, he don't play. I done heard some stories about him.
This theme song really does slap though. Where'd you get this production music, Alabaster? Send me the track.
We love it. Bye, guys.
Bye. Goodbye, Alabaster. Can we be friends?
Those are good jokes today.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you. You earned my respect today, Alabaster.
Love you, Dominique.
I don't think he's being honest.
Yeah, he's probably not. But that's
no, you're not being honest.